完璧などありえない。この世界は不完全だから、美しい。
バカバカバカ、
なに
俺は海賊王になる。
待って、なんて恋しさなの。
力を渡した時に言ったことを覚えているかい。クエ、違う、そこじゃない。
変態遅い。
Hello and welcome to More Than Hentai, a podcast that is here to show you that anime is just far more than tentacles and cat girls. There's also countless stories of love, loss, laughs, hope, horror, and happiness that are just dying to be found. And I, Brendan White, the Salt and Pepper Senpai, I'm here to help you find them. More Than Hentai is proudly powered by Audio Technica and Dash Water, so go upgrade your audio and hydration games today. And joining me on this episode is someone so nice, you get to hear them thrice. That's right, it's my first ever three-peat guest here on the podcast, man who has riffed with me about Call of the Night, Shangri-La Frontier, and countless other gaming and culture-related topics over the years. He's everyone's favorite cat dad, who can be found on the socials at BenMCJ, all one word. Benny, you bloody legend, welcome back to the studio. How might you be doing?
Three-peat time, and we get to talk about kaiju. How good is that?
It sounds like a pretty perfect Sunday to me.
Exactly, man. And I'm stoked to be back in here and very honored to be your first three-peat guest. So thank you so much for having me. And I'm really excited to talk about this show.
That's it. Yeah, they do say good things come in threes, and you know, three-piece feeds, three-peat guests here. Like, I think we're primed for success here.
And you and I are big fans of a Dirty Bird three-piece feed.
Oh my goodness. I love some KFC. I love me some KFC.
Might be the plans for dinner now. I've got ribs sitting there ready to cook up, so I'm good.
My sister was down here earlier today, shout out to Becco, and we went and had a bit of seafood on the beach. Oof. Earlier, but on Sundays the same seafood shop, they run a fishmonger during the week, and on Sundays they bring out like their fishmonger van and park it beside this little fish and chip pop-up they do. So I picked up a couple of Moreton Bay bugs and some flathead fillets. So gonna do some bugs, maybe toss it through a bit of pasta tonight. So that's my
idea. Love me some bugs. Love me some Moreton Bay bugs. And they must have had them shipped down, obviously, because, it's best. One of the best things about Queensland is getting Moreton Bay bugs. If you like shellfish, seafood, it's a must-have if you're ever in Queensland as well. It's very nice, fresh, and everything like that.
I completely agree. Like, I don't know if it's recency bias knowing that I'm going to have it for dinner, but I'd take a bug over a lobster, and that's a big thing to say. Bugs are so flavorsome. And
they're more flavor, they're better texture meats. Like, I mean, lobster, you have to smother the shit out of them with butter. Like, you can have a bug on its own raw. Like you would with prawns and so forth. So, yeah.
Yeah. International Love listeners, Google Moreton Bay bugs and have a look at it, because it looks very much like an alien, or very much like a kaiju almost in its aesthetic. Like, it is a nightmare creature of a thing, but it is oh so tasty.
Very good.
Yeah. But it's good to have you back. We riffed about maybe 2 months or so ago now on Shangri-La Frontier, which has just wrapped up its first season. Fantastically done. And
I've got 4 episodes to go.
Ooh, okay. I'm not going to spoil anything for you or the listeners, but if you're curious about Shangri-La Frontier, go back and check out this episode that is on the RSS feed.
100%. Like, I think it was the best new IP anime of last year. Was it the best anime of last year? Probably not. But best new anime, like IP series, I'd say, that's a pretty reasonable argument to make.
It's a bold statement. It's definitely, like, thinking out loud now, it's definitely in my top 5.
Yeah.
Freerun's number 1 for me. I'm so obsessed and in love with that.
See, that was 2024, though.
Well, it's debuted in 2023.
It did? You sure? Mm-hmm.
100%,
Oh, it might have been just before the new year or something. Yeah,
debuted in October, I believe.
Did it? I didn't think it came out until, like December. Maybe I'm really wrong.
That's okay. That's okay, because I think you're going to be right, though, in regards to the topic we're covering today, because, it's exciting. This is one that both of us have gone in collectively fresh-eyed about, because it is making its debut on Crunchyroll today. Mm-hmm. So we are recording on the 14th of April of 2024. And I guess we can jump right on into it. Now, title in focus, you half mentioned it at the drop here.
Certainly did.
Is a science fiction action shonen known as Kaiju number 8, that was written and illustrated by Naoshi Matsumoto and has been serialized for free on Shueisha's Shonen Jump Plus app and website since July of 2020. With its chapters collected in 12 Tankobon volumes as of April 2024 and has over 13 million copies currently in circulation, a 12-episode anime television series adaptation began airing today. As I mentioned, we are recording on April 14th of 2024, and it was produced by Production IG, the studio known for titles such as Haikyuu, Vinland Saga, Psycho Pass, Fooly Cooly, and Ghost in the Shell, to name but a few. Kaiju number 8 is available on Crunchyroll and currently holds a score of 8.17 on my anime list. That is based off 4,400 unique user reviews, and it is currently the 1,634th most popular anime on the website, but I assume that number is going to skyrocket as these episodes begin to roll out.
Ooh, baby, do we reckon it will? Like, and full disclosure to the listeners, like, I've been really excited for this anime since probably last year, early last year. I heard about it, and I saw, like, I saw the images, I heard what the storyline was and everything like that. Oh, yeah, sweet. I thought it was actually coming out April of last year. I was like, oh, sweet. Yeah, awesome. Rah, rah, cool. I'll check that out when it gets here. And then April came around. I'm like, where is it? And I'm like, oh, it's next year. Oh, cool. I'm going to go read the manga. So full disclosure, I've read the manga. I'm fully up to date with the manga. I read the latest chapter just this morning as well. So chapter 105 plus the B-sides. They've got like 8 chapters in the B-sides. So this is actually the first anime I've ever gone into where I've read all the manga first as well. So I was really, really hyped coming into this.
I'm exactly the same. I haven't read the latest chapter, but I'm up to date minus the latest chapter from like a week ago.
It only came out like 3-4 days
ago. Yeah, but the story of Kaiju number 8 is as follows. This was taken directly from my anime list. Grotesque Godzilla-like monsters called Kaiju have been appearing around Japan for many years. To combat these beasts, an elite military unit known as the Defense Corps risks their lives daily to protect civilians. Once a creature is killed, sweepers working under the professional Kaiju Cleaner Corporation are left to dispose of its remains. Kafka Habano, a 32-year-old man, is unsatisfied with his job as a sweeper. From a young age, he has aspired to join the Defense Corps and kill Kaijus for a living. After a few failed attempts, however, he gave up on his dreams and resigned himself to the mediocrity that provided a decent paycheck. Nevertheless, when an ambitious 18-year-old recruit named Lino Ichikawa joins his cleaning team, Kafka is once again reminded of his desire to join the military. Following a chain of unfortunate events and an interaction with the junior sweeper, Kafka encounters a parasite-type kaiju that forces its way in through its mouth, turning him into a humanoid monster. With his newfound powers, Kafka aims to give his lifelong dream one final try. So Kaiju number 8, the first episode debuted overnight on Crunchyroll. The episode title is The Man Who Became a Kaiju. But as you mentioned, this is the first time both you and or I have gone into an anime knowing where this story is allegedly going to go. Obviously, they could take some liberties here. Production IG could get a little funky here or there, but I reckon we're going to be on the same rails, on that same path that the manga has been doing now for the last 3.5 to 4 years.
Yep.
I'm hyped as hell because I'm up to date. I love this story. I love the characters. I love the tone.
Yeah.
And then watching the first episode, I've watched it twice just before we started recording here, just so it's nice and fresh. I've got Kaiju number 8 running through my veins. But tell me, like, obviously the way this podcast goes, sorry, listeners, is we unpack a particular anime, first episode front to back only. We don't go beyond that. So we're not going to be spoiling plot points that we know from the manga. We don't know what's happening in the anime. Obviously, only one episode is available. We're going to go front to back. We're going to talk about characters, narrative, tone, concepts, all that kind of stuff. And, you know, give it some positive or negatives we go. It's going to be completely honest and unfiltered and open here. So, yeah, The Man Who Became a Kaiju is the first episode that we're going to be unpacking. Benny, what was your initial spoiler 3/4? What was your general impressions, general feeling after watching? Because you said you've watched it twice today as well. What's the vibe in the Benny McJay household today after checking this out?
I was lucky enough, like my partner, she was around to watch it as well with me. So I got a person who hasn't read the manga's opinion on it as well. So feedback from her is she really liked it. It was really, really fun. She likes where it's going. So that's the very basic feedback of someone that hasn't watched it. So you can now take our feedback with a bit of grain of salt because we're both pretty hyped on it after reading the manga. And we're both, like I said, we binged the whole thing. So we're ready to go on it. I think it's really, really well done. I think the small liberties and changes that they've made from chapter one going into this, because I will say it is the entirety of chapter one of the manga, mm-hmm. the way they've padded it out and made the small changes that they have made, I think they've done that very, very well. The animation, I wasn't, like, looking at the trailers and the promotional artwork, I wasn't really sold on what they were doing. And then now seeing it fully animated, I'm really, really digging the style. The CG stuff that they use blended with the hand-drawn stuff works really, really well. How the way that they've blended the two together is really, really great. And, yeah, it really feels like a epic beginning to a saga. More than what when you read the manga, and maybe, I don't know if you got the same sort of feeling I did, but I felt that it didn't give that same epic mm-hmm. feeling in that first chapter, whereas this feels a bit more epic. And I think it's because of the expansion out of especially the very opening of the show. That's literally only like half a dozen to a dozen panels in the manga. Like the opening shot in the manga is the kaiju already fully walking through downtown Yokohama. Mm-hmm. Whereas in this, we see a little bit of peace right before the kaiju emerges.
Yeah, I'm with you. Like, I wrote epic and big, like it feels epic in scale, obviously epic in kaiju sizing as we're introduced in this episode as well. But I think something that enhances the great content that you get from those manga panels is the use of sound in the anime. Yep. Like the soundtrack in this anime, this first episode stands out above so many other first episodes that we've done on the podcast here. It is so big, and they use like classical instruments, and you get this real Godzilla vibe in these opening scenes, and then some crazy genre jumps later with music tonally as well, but it works so well to just build and build and build, and I'm all for it.
Especially like it sort of changes styles between each action set piece as well. So like you're starting off with this like big orchestral sound, like you said, and then there's these rock riffs going on as the machine guns are blaring and stuff like that, and then this great big boom of a sound when the climax of that battle happens is just, and we'll get into a little bit more of the nitty gritty in a minute, but you watched it twice. I watched it twice. I watched it once subbed, once dubbed. In both, the audio quality is just top tier, and the soundtrack is top tier. Like, this is a top tier production from a studio that has been on their top of their game for a long, long time. And I'm glad they've got this IP to work with.
Yeah, production IG do not or very rarely deliver subpar content, and you can see them flexing their animation muscles here in this first episode, and it's really evidence right from the rip. So we get a very cold open where we're seeing this contrast, like you said, of normal society in Yokohama. People are just going about their day, working, living, et cetera, et cetera. And we're just seeing general population just doing their thing. But it's...
I didn't see the tire factory.
Yeah.
Yokohama tire, sorry.
It's, I think due to copyright, they had to probably call it something else. Who knows? But we get this calmness then overlaid. We're getting like some military discussion over the comms about, okay, kaiju's been sighted. They immediately start to explain the size of the kaiju and like the power level or the power potential of this kaiju, just sort of, I guess, setting the stakes earlier. Like, okay, so these things vary in size, vary in power, vary in potential devastation, magnitude.
I love the shot of the fat army guy herding the civilians into the shelter. I don't know why, but I chuckled at that. Just because he had a very comical art style to his face, and then just the way he said things, like saying like get into the shelter or what, I can't even remember what he said, but it made me chuckle both times.
Yeah, and that like that sort of minimalistic facial design is evidenced through most of the characters you meet. Like, there isn't a ton of detail in comparison to some of the other production IG jaunts that I mentioned earlier, but then it's really starkly contrasted to the level of detail in the environments and in the general background and foreground, where there is a ton of really, really impressive animation. But then some of these faces that you see are very minimalistic in design. They are still very expressive and get the point across. But, it sort of is juxtaposed very interestingly compared to the rest of the scene and the rest of the frame. But then we start to see the hoorah moment where we're seeing the military commence the attack against this kaiju, and it just builds really, really quickly. Like straight away, you're on the edge of your seat. Straight away, you're like, all right, machismo, let's get it. There's death, there's destruction, there's missiles raining in from helicopters. And then we get introduced to the third division and Mina Ashiro, who is clearly one of the heroines, one of the leads that's going to be throughout Kaiju number 8. You can see that she's just a bad bitch, and I mean that in the best way.
Fucking awesome intro.
Yeah.
Like to just straight up just jump out of a helicopter, superhero landing on top of a building, and yeah, and it's like she does the full-on like superhero landing where the whole crater appears at the top of the building where she lands and quickly runs into her position to get line up her shots. There's actually, for the manga readers and, you know, if you're watching the anime later on, and you'll notice there's actually a couple of very, very quick shots of before that. I think it's even the guy that says, oh, it'll probably be the third division. I'm pretty sure that's one of the characters that is, you'll probably meet him maybe episode 3, I'm going to guess, at this stage. And there's a pink hair guy in the restaurant, and then there's a little girl as well that you see on a train. So without spoiling it, these are characters that are going
to
come back later.
Yeah, some little Easter eggs there for the readers to go, oh, I know that person, or I know that person. It's interesting to see some of them translated, unless they were part of like the cover art. It's just always black and white. So knowing how they translate to the animation side,
and that's why colorized. I like the green hair guy. I'm like, I don't know if he actually has green hair in the manga, because I can't remember a color image of him, unfortunately.
I do tangent a little bit. I do enjoy I can't remember every chapter release, and they do have, you know, the 0.5 one where they show just the covers
just
and
the coloured artwork.
I do like that they utilise that on the app or the website, because it's a nice way to break it up and, yeah, show a little bit more depth to some of these characters. But, the introduction to Mina, you can really see immediately, okay, this woman means business. She's very impressive. She's the head of the third division, very agile.
She got a big ass gun.
Yeah, big ass, like, you know, doom bringer of a weapon. And during this whole moment, when you see her jump out of the helicopter, hero landing, really cool scene there on the top of the building, whips out this giant gun, and then it's just a one-shot kill to this kaiju straight through the heart or straight through the core. And it's badass as hell, and it's really, really, really well accompanied by the soundtrack in this moment. Like, we're getting live-action Godzilla vibes as far as big, grand, epic sound overlaid by this cool hero moment, and then instant death to the kaiju. And there's this really awesome scene here just before we get a very brief flash of the Kaiju number 8 title card, where that one-shot kill has happened. The kaiju falls down dead, but it's got a really tight shot of the kaiju's eyes, and the animation on the eyes was stunning. But then we're getting the blood raining down from this one-shot kill and explosion from Mina, and she's standing there and the camera's sort of framed just behind her. So you're getting this shot from behind, blood rain everywhere, kaiju eye. And I'm just like, all right, I am in from this moment. Like, this is badass. This is brutal. This is epic. And I want more of it, Benny.
Yeah. I was the same. I was just like, oh yes, they've basically, there's a shot. You'll see, if you look in the trailer, and it's going to be at the end, towards the end of episode 2 or midway through episode 2 anyway, there's a shot in the trailer where there's blood raining down on Kaiju number 8 himself. And it's like, oh, they're using this very, very liberally and putting it very much at the start of the episode. It's like, oh yes, I know we're going to get some really awesome fights and really powerful imagery that's going to go along with it, especially knowing where the story actually does go in the future. That gives me so much hope for where this series is going
to
go.
I'm so excited, like, because we are up to date and so far ahead, you know, we're 3.5 years ahead of the story from where the anime has just debuted. We're now
probably at least 5 seasons deep.
So it's a good and a bad thing. The manga is a fantastic read, fantastically illustrated as well. But this was a really, really, really great hyped couple of minutes here. And we didn't get the OP, we just got a very brief flash title card, Kaiju number 8, and then we're introduced to one of our other leads, Kafka Habano, who is part of the cleanup crew. And there's a cool moment here as well when we do get introduced to Kafka, where we see, you know, the Yokohama crowd starting to pool around this kaiju attack, and the media, you know, they've done great. It's killed already. Mm. Da, 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 da. And then they're like, oh, there's Mina. And there's this really cool contrasting shot where she's the focus of the crowd. Everyone idolizes her. She's walking from east to west. And then Kafka, who's behind the crowd, no one knows who he is. He's just a lowly cleaner walking from west to east. And there's sort of this contrast and diverting paths of the two together. Yeah. And it's really, you just see really like clean.
This hole in the crowd where you can just see Mina's face just walk past perfectly.
I love that shot. Loved it.
And then he bumps into the little news guy and he's like, oh, excuse me, and just keeps on going about his business, really, because he's got a job to do now. He's got to go clean up some kaiju gunk. He's going to get some overtime for it too.
That's it. And yeah, we get this really great line because we've got some voiceover work here happening with Kafka doing some narration. He's like, when their battles are over, that's where our battle begins. Because he's part of the cleanup crew. He's just a humble sort of servant for the Japanese government, I guess you could say, as far as cleaning and doing these things for the government, the military. And I really like this scene where they're just showing these guys and girls working with like surgical precision, breaking down this kaiju. Like there's people peeling back the skin, taking away the organs, cutting apart this. Like
it's a well-oiled machine. The climbing rope that they had up on top of the kaiju, and like they're ascending to it and then hooking onto the thing and then moving across. You get the little drone that flies in over to Kafka and asks him for a drone sample.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing that, did you watch it in sub or dub?
I did both. And the voice work, like you said, and you touched on at the start, voice work, whether you're going Japanese or English, both phenomenal. I love both.
It is a top level dub. But I love that the drone, when you listen to the English dub, it says arigato. When you say, you listen to this Japanese dub, it says thank you. So it's just a nice little touch there. But the other thing, like, is you get the little name flash for Kafka Harbino. But because I went back and I read the first couple of chapters this morning as well before watching it, so I had them fresh in my mind so I could do little comparisons. In the anime, it actually says age 32, which we'll get into later, but it's something that they should have kept in the anime, is like how old he is, because it's a story beat.
It doesn't get explained. Like they allude to the age thing later, which we'll talk about, but yeah, we don't get an understanding of how old Kafka is and what that actually means as far as his current sort of personal and professional situation. Yeah, I really love this whole scene where we're just seeing the professional.
He's showing that he knows what he's doing. He's good at his job as well. Like he's saying, hey, I need the heat chainsaw to cut through this bone or something along those lines. And then that leads into the next scene with the gentleman like hoisting the organ up, which I assume is like a stomach organ or something along those lines. And he's like, no, don't, it's not settled yet or something along those lines. And it just bursts and then acid goes on this guy's leg.
Yeah, and I like how cool, calm, and collected everybody is in this moment too. Like, this giant kaiju organs exploded and shot acid on this Kaiju Cleaner Corporation employee. Kafka runs straight down, asks for a couple of medical supplies to clean him up, and are working through the leg. But I like too in this moment where he's like, make sure you fill out your workers' comp by the end of the week if you want to make sure you can get compensated accordingly and get paid for this. Like,
yeah, and the other thing is like it happens to everyone at some stage as well. Like, yeah, a really, really like genuine worker moment. As if it was like a construction site or something like that.
And he clearly, like you said, Benny, he knows his stuff. He's been doing this for a good long time. He's very good at his job and he's one of the most respected members of the Kaiju Cleaner Corporation.
Well, actually, that's one of the things I noticed. So in the dub, he says something along the lines of, oh, it happens to everyone eventually. In the sub, the title was, oh, it's happened to me heaps of times. So I was like, I don't know why you changed that line, but anyway, that's one of those things.
That's a big change of context. Where one,
it is, isn't it?
It makes him sound like he's not very good at his job, and he's always getting burned. Yeah. And then the other time, it's like, oh, it just happens to all of us, so don't sweat it. So,
just chill out, man. It's all good. You'll be fine.
Yeah. So that scenario happens, and then Kafka gets transferred to entrail duty, which no one likes. No one wants to be dealing with the intestines because anyone that knows anatomy knows that. Poo and things like that is made and transferred through the intestines.
I love that they still censored all the everything in that regard.
I wrote the exact same thing in my notes. I said, I love a good poo blur because that is a nice trope from anime where they blur poo and vomit and any type of bodily fluid exchange.
You go look at the manga panel, it's the same thing. It's censored, pixelated manga. Like they've done, it's an intentional choice.
Yeah, it's so good. So I had a little bit of a chuckle there, and yeah, so he's working his way work through to you know, the end of the shift, and then it cuts forward a little bit to Kafka at home, clearly stinking up his apartment because he's got remnants of kaiju intestine and poo all over his person, and he's got the telly on in the background, and it's focusing on the recent battle that played out in Yokohama. And during this news flash, we can get further evidence of just how much of a badass Mina is, because she's the focus of this. She's the star of the third division. She's one of the fastest risers within the defense corps, things like that. So it's really building up how much of a badass she is. But then we get a very brief flashback to little baby Mina and baby Kafka, or not baby, like they're young children.
And young babies, yeah.
They're kids, and they grew up together. They were friends together. And you see, even at such a young age, we get this very brief flash here, and it's further explained later on the episode, but they promise to fight kaiju together. And you're like, oh, okay. So what happened? How come she's the star of the third division and Kafka's here stinking like kaiju shit? What's going on?
Yeah, it leaves questions for the viewer, which is really, really good. And I love that they showed like how much of a slob his apartment is, because it gives a bit more context as to maybe this is why he hasn't succeeded. It's setting up all the clues as to why he never made it to the Defense Force to begin with, which is really, really cool. And it's just, you look through some of that apartment, like it's atrocious. It's like, this guy's been single a long time and he's staying single for a very long time as well. Ain't no woman coming back to that place.
No, especially when he's thinking of kaiju insides
kaiju
all the time.
Every day.
So I get it. He's committed to living this life of solitude because, yeah, he doesn't feel very good about most things, I guess, and he's just accepted defeat in life in every sense of the word at the moment. So we then flash forward to the next day, cruise along the highway on his little Vespa, arrives to the office, and then we're introduced to the new part-timer who has intentions to join the Defense Force. Ultimately, he's just a young 18-year-old kid, Ichikawa, and he's got a cool vibe about him, got a cool look.
Yeah.
I'm like, all right, he's gonna, like, obviously we've read the manga, we know what's happening, but you can already see that aesthetically he stands out amongst all the other drones within the Kaiju Cleaner Corporation. He looks like a bit of a mover and a shaker. And we get some context here where we found out that, yeah, Kafka quit attempting to join the Defense Force. We don't know why. He is curious, like as in Ichikawa is curious as to what's happening. And Kafka's like, oh, don't worry about it. If you give up, that's all fine. But
yeah, when you get older, you'll understand sort of scenario. Yeah.
But then Ichikawa snaps back and he's like, I'll never give up and I'll die before I don't get to what I need or what I want to achieve. So you can already see that Kafka's the quitter, allegedly, where Ichikawa, he's fighting till his last breath to get everything he wants in life. So I'm like, oh, okay, there's a bit of a contrast here. I like this.
And Kafka's like pretty PO'd by the interaction and everything like that. And the supervisor's, oh man, I thought you guys were going to get along. So yeah, Kafka's really annoyed by it because he's like, if I say anything, I'm going to look like an idiot no matter what I do.
Yeah.
So he's really, really annoyed at the new guy, essentially.
That's it. Just this young, brash, confident 18-year-old kid that's just rolled in and thinking he's going to set the world on fire. And Kafka's like, nah, man, like life's not like that.
We've all worked with one of them before.
yeah so it's nice that interaction there. We jump forward back to the kaiju cleanup, and we find out that Kafka and Ichikawa are partnered in intestine duty, which is just a great
I just
scenario
love
here.
Yeah, suck it, you guy Kafka, you're going to god damn it.
And yeah, so we see him doing their thing for a little bit. We get a quick line adding a little bit more context as to what happened with Kafka and not making it into the Defense Corps, where we find out that he failed the defense test. And you're like, oh, okay, what happened here? But that's all, doesn't go into the specifics as to why.
Supervisor, he would have made a great officer if he actually passed that test.
So you're like, okay. So he didn't just quit because it got too hard. He tried and just didn't pass for whatever reason.
Yeah.
And so then we jump forward again and the guys are on lunch break. So I do like that it's just casual real world applications here that's relatable where it's like, yeah, they've been slicing up this giant hell beast and now they're just sitting down eating some lunch. And it makes me crack up in this scene because they're both very close to vomiting due to the smell from working in intestine duty. And it's a really nice bonding moment here though too where
it's setting it up for the rest of the day's work essentially.
Yeah, it's I'm starting like and in this scene I was starting to see like Big Brother Little Brother vibes here where Ichikawa is struggling to vomit, Kafka can see that, but he's also struggling to hold back vomit as well.
Yeah.
But yeah, Kafka slings him this liquid vitamin juice and some nose plugs and sort of said, "No, drink this. You need to consume something. You need your energy, otherwise you're not going to last the day."
Yeah. And then they have a bit of a tussle, like he was trying to shove the nose plugs down up his nose. Like, no, I don't need them.
Very, very Big Brother, Little Brother vibe. Mm. Then it jumps forward again to some more cleanup scenes. And I love in these sort of scenes here showing...
You can see the two of them working together and he's actually teaching.
Mm.
He's genuinely teaching him how to do his job.
Yeah, that Big Brother, Little Brother vibe is very apparent here in this scene. And I like the sound. They overlay like this saxophony funky bop over this scene and it's just really eclectic.
It's a sweet montage ditty.
Yeah, that's the perfect way to describe it. It is the sweetest of montage ditties, that's for sure. And we end up finishing this day. Ichikawa personally seeks out Kafka, who's sort of one of the last men still on scene. Everyone else has bailed. Kafka's doing some paperwork and whatever else. But he hunts him down because he wanted to thank him for helping him survive the first day. But also, he wanted to let him know that the age limit for the Defense Force has been bumped up to 33.
So just before we get into the age thing, but there's a shot when he's saying thank you for the day and I would never have made it through the afternoon. There's a very, very brief shot where it zooms in on his hand and he's got the plugs in his hand. So he's got the nose plugs in his hand. So he's taken his advice and he's like, okay, yeah, it was a smart play to put the nose plugs in.
Yeah. So it's nice that there is this respect building between these two already. There's this mutual appreciation between the, I won't say the young and the old, because 32 is not ancient, but like, you know, the young, brash 18-year-old confident boy and the 32-year-old that's lived a bit more of a life here. And they've come to a bit of a common ground here, a bit of a mutual respect and adoration. Mm. And Ichikawa, when he mentions that the age limit has been bumped to join the Defense Corps here, to 33, you go, okay, so maybe that's why he's accepted that his life is what it is for now because he's clearly close to that age. He's
past the age gap. Yeah, exactly. And so, and that comes back to my earlier point where I said I kind of wish they left that his age is 32 in at the start when they first brought up his name tag title card because that plays into this part of the story. He's 32 years old. And now that you know, oh, the age limit has been raised to 33, he still has a chance. So maybe the age limit was 30 or something. I don't know. I can't even remember what they get into on that part because there's so much other awesome stuff that happens in the manga that's far more important. But then and this is one of the other things that he just says it's because there's not enough youth or young people these days or something along those lines signing up. But you go back and read the manga, at least the English translation says it's due to the low birth rate, which is really mirroring the way that Japan's currently, Japan's having a low birth rate crisis at the moment now, as well as I think there's several other Asian countries. I think Korea is the other one that comes to mind off the top of my head. So it kind of mirrors that sort of situation a little bit with the real world. So yeah, I kind of wish they explained that a bit better as well and kept that from the manga. But again, minor thing, just something that adds a little bit more context and flavor for these, the main story beats.
Yeah, I do. Essentially. I do like just these little crumbs, these little kernels that they're adding to the story as it goes, just to build out this world ever so subtly. Like you said, it's just a little piece of information that can just add to the depth and the realness of the world and also add to us understanding Kafka's situation here. And Ichikawa, in sort of this announcement as far as the age getting bumped to 33, he said he wanted to highlight this to Kafka because he could see how torn up about it he was talking about the Defence Corps earlier in the day when they had that exchange at the cleaner office. So he's a very observant young man, even though he's a bit overconfident and whatnot. You can see that he's a smart kid and he has a high level of respect as to what's going on and pays attention to what's happening. But yeah, the next moment after they have this scenario here where there's the announcement as far as 33.
He's like, yeah, thanks, man. I appreciate that as well. Like, yeah, there's a bit of a mutual respect back and forth happen here very quickly.
Yeah, but the tone immediately changes because out of nowhere, Yoji appears and it's primed to eat Ichikawa in one fell swoop, mouth open, teeth gnashing, ready to chomp down on this young 18-year-old go-getter. Too. Oh, yeah, he's not a good-looking beastie, that's for sure.
Big bug-eyed spider thingy looking. Ugh.
And anyone, I think, that hasn't read the manga and is watching this situation, it feels like Ichikawa is going to die in this moment. It feels like he's going to be a sacrifice to the broader plot to maybe provide that final bump for Kafka to be like, I'm going in the force, I'm going to do this for Ichikawa type of thing. But no, the old man, he's a spry, nimble old 32, that's for sure, jumps to action, dives in, saves Ichikawa, avoiding him from the big chomp from this Yoji here. And then he tells him to run and call the defense force. Mm-hmm. He's going to stay and fight it and distract it, allowing Ichikawa to get away. Ichikawa's like, nah, you're being silly. Don't be a hero. Come out with me. And the older man wins in the persuasion check here. Ichikawa disappears. And then we get this crazy fight scene of the Yoji chasing Kafka throughout Yokohama.
Yeah, basically just straight up just running through all the blood-splattered walls and everything. Because, like, the cleanup crew is just basically trying just to take apart the kaiju that's still there. So a lot of the walls and roads and everything still very, very damaged. Blood splatter is still everywhere. And they're still expecting it to be done in a week.
Which is insane. This thing's just like a skyscraper-sized monster. And, yeah, they've got to break this sucker down within 7 days. Come on now.
Yeah. So anyway, he's running through the streets and this thing's taking swipes at him. He finally sees a – and this is, again, something that they're expanded on from the – it's like, so we mentioned earlier the opening sequence with the main kaiju and all that sort of stuff and how that was expanded on from just a few very, very brief introductory panels to actual full-on fight scene, essentially. And this is, again, something very similar. It's this whole chase isn't really well depicted in the manga. So this is something that fleshes it out for the better. He finally finds a small building that he can run through and he gets in there and the little kaiju, the Yonju, can't follow him in there. And he starts having another flashback to Mina again when they were kids and the conversation that they had to where they just said they were going to destroy the kaiju. Really, really sweet look at how they actually were as kids too.
It really was. And the final scene before they jump to the flashback where Kafka does the big hero moment jump out of the window.
Out of the window, yeah.
Falling multi-stories. I love in anime or in media in general, I love a good rotating camera shot during a window burst like that. And we get this little cool hero moment. I love
the shot of the blood.
The glass
hitting him in the cheek. And then when you go back to the flashback, he's got that exact same scratch. So I think that's what supposedly it's triggering the flashback is the glass hitting his cheek. It reminds him of when they survived a kaiju attack as children.
I wrote that exactly in my notes there. So I'm glad we were on the same path there. So yeah, we flash back again to, Kafka and Mina as kids. Mina's sort of hunched over on this hillside crying, saying, you know, they've lost everything, lost her cat. Lost family, friends, the school, everything's been destroyed. Little calico cat.
And there's a nice shot on the fence where it says like Mina and Kafka, best friends forever or something is like written on one of the posts. And the other one says Miko, like in tribute to Miko or something like that. And it's got a little flower wreath hanging over it. And Miko is the little cat that she's lost.
Yeah, it's a beautiful scene. Very, very beautifully animated too, this scene. And seeing
so well animated.
The contrast, because they're on this hillside, it's green and lush and the sun's setting, it's beautiful, but then they sort of show Yokohama city, from the front on and it's on fire, it's smashed to hell from this kaiju attack. You know, so many people and so many things they know and love have been wiped from the earth.
Mm-hmm.
But they have this simultaneous moment here where they're like, you know what, not going to mope, the world is not over today. And they both say in parallel, one day I'll join the Defense Force. And then they agree to join and wipe out all the kaiju together. And yeah, it's a cute
moment. You're still in elementary school. So are you.
It's great. I love their dynamic, not only the manga, but also in the anime that sort of alluded to in these scenes. And then it flashes forward again to the chase. Kafka ends up getting smashed and clawed across the chest by the Yoji here. And he starts sort of questioning his life. Like, how did I end up here? What went wrong? Why aren't I in the Defense Corps with Mina? What's going on? You know, I'm a cleaner. My life sucks. Having a bit of a existential crisis in this situation. He's laying there helpless because you can see his leg got like busted and smashed up by the Yoji here. And he's sort of accepting that, like, I'm dying right
now.
This is the end. But lo and behold,
how did I get here?
Ichikawa comes in to save the day, hits the Yoji with a street pole that he
thinks I think it's like a stop sign or something. It just gets bent over the top of this thing's head. It's just like, oh, shit.
And then he's panicking because he's realizing, holy shit, not only am I going to die now, but Ichikawa's going to die. And you can hear some internal monologuing going on with Kafka here, and he's like, I can't save anything or anyone. And you think, man, are they both going to be killed off here? What's happening? But no, they are not, Benny, because something happens here and it's metal as fuck.
It's so, so good. And again, this is something that they've expanded on from the manga, which as someone that's read it, it makes it even more exciting. It's like, yes, they've added stuff to this that fits right. And you get a nice big white tiger just coming in and just taking the face out of this bloody thing really, really quickly. It's so fast too, how this goes down. It's such a quick shot. Basically, the tiger comes in, whose name is Bucko. Comes in, saves him essentially just to get him out of the firing line. And then this thing just gets lit the fuck up by Mina, who's standing in the background with the rest of her crew. Yeah, it's such a baller moment. And then Bucko just comes up and hides behind Mina essentially, and she gives orders to her teams to say, rescue the survivors and let's do it. The rest of us, let's go do a sweep essentially. It's so quick and precise. But like you said, it's metal as fuck. It's really, really cool.
It further shows, like I use the term surgical with the cleanup crew, but it shows how surgical the Third Division are.
Yeah.
Or just the Defense Corps in general, because like you said, Bucko comes out of nowhere, does its badass tiger attack, but then like, and this Yoji is so just blown to bits within an instant. Like you blink and you miss it. And it just further goes to build on how much of a badass Mina is. And it shows that, you know, she's up on this mountaintop as far as status and coolness and badassness. And Kafka is literally down in the kaiju guts as just the cleaner. So you can see the gap between them, even though they committed to kill kaiju together all those years ago, there is oceans between them now as far as where they are in life. And I'm very curious in this moment, even though I've read it, but like from a viewer, I'm like, man, what happened here? Why is there so much difference in impressiveness between the two?
And it's never been really resolved in the manga. At least if it has, I've missed it. But like, she doesn't pay attention that it's Kafka. She doesn't realize it's him. Doesn't realize it's her childhood friend. And if she does, she doesn't care.
It's kind of weird to me in these scenes, because she just tells the other members of Third Division. But she knows it's him later when they see each other in further chapters in the manga. So I don't know how she didn't see who it was in this moment. I'm guessing she just was just in kaiju kill mode. The job's over. I'm heading home to have a bath, which we'll talk about later. Not in a weird, creepy way, but just that's what happens post-credits.
I mean, it's called more than hentai, mate.
Yeah. We keep it above the belt here, Benny. We keep it above the belt here. But so Mina and the Third Division save the day, fades to black. Scene then jumps forward a little bit and we see Kafka laying in a hospital bed, his leg bandaged and plaster casted up, and he's laying there reflecting on how damn good Mina is, how he was left in the dust by her. Still just self-reflection on where he's at as a human and, you know, what went wrong. We find out that Ichikawa is in the hospital bed beside him. And then we get this really cute moment, or a sweet moment is probably a better way to say it, where, he thanks Kafka and says how cool he was today and how he should think about attempting to join the Defense Corps again. And that, like, gave Kafka that motivation he needed to sort of get out of the pits of despair that he was in right at that moment.
I love that it's also because the line that he has with Mina when they were kids is that we'll see who's going to be the coolest officer, and all of a sudden it's he's got someone that looks up to him and has already thanked him, and they've built this very, very small bond, but a bond nonetheless, has just said how cool what he's done today is and everything. It's just that last little bit of inspiration that he needed to say, yeah, I am going to give it another crack. This is my last chance. I'm going for it. I'm going all out for it this time. And then smacks himself in the head.
the lovable, bumbling idiot, Kafka, in all the right ways. But, yeah, I like it's just, subtle storytelling, subtle plot direction as far as moving things forward where, they overlay these little lines or these little scenes from their past into the future. And that references how cool Kafka was all he needed to go, you know what? I'm not done. 32 is not 72. I've got a whole life to live here. I'm going to give it a crack. And he's got his fist in the air like, yes, I can do this. I'm going to do this. And you start to see this like silhouette of like flying wings behind his head.
And you can hear the fluttering.
And you're like, what the hell is going on here? And he lowers his fist. And you see this flying kaiju bug and it dives straight down Kafka's throat. And you're like, no.
What I just love the sound effects in this moment too and the voice acting as well, because he's just the, huh? And then as soon as he goes to say kaiju, he's like, kaiju, it's like straight down the gullet. And then it's this transformation happens.
Instantaneous.
It's so instantaneous. And that's the thing is it's... We read the manga, obviously. So in the manga, it's very instantaneous because we don't have the panels to show it. But to show how, I don't know, it must have been jarring for the human body, demonstrated and animated here. And you can see him just shaking around and writhing in the bed. And Ichikawa's like, sir, are you okay? And all this sort of thing. And trying to just make sure what's going on. And he finally gets up out of bed and walks around the corner and pulls back the curtain because they haven't been able to see each other this whole time. And there he is in all his glory, is the soon-to-be-named kaiju number 8.
Yeah, so nameless at this point in time, but, Kafka has transformed into some type of kaiju-like creature here. Semi-humanoid still, but you can tell he's still kaiju and monstrous in form.
Yes.
Love the character design in kaiju number 8 form, like...
So many of the character designs are so fucking cool. Phenomenal. I mean, you mentioned it earlier because we've talked about the manga a few times, but the 0.5 chapters that they do where it's just the artwork and it's full color pages, it's stuff you could turn into a poster essentially or big promo artwork. And I think even some of it's been used as the volume covers and things like that as well. It is so damn good. It's so cool. So much of it is very, very cool.
It's very pretty, even though it is like a little bit nightmarish in some of the character models and the designs that they've come up with. But love the kaiju number 8 model. I love the design. I love the color palette it's used. And I love that he's sort of got like a stripped back skull head and then just this giant hulking muscular body that's black with like neon pops of blue through it.
Blue, it's so cool. And the eyes glow blue and things like that. It's really, really badass.
Yeah, he's a bad mother effer, as we'll find out in future episodes or in the manga. But they have this freak out moment here. Very, very comedic, very slapsticky.
The little look at him, he's like, what? He's like, uh-huh? He looks at the mirror, looks at the like reflection of the window behind him. He's like, huh? It's just this instant confusion of what's going on, like no idea what's happened to him. And then the instant freak out was just hilariously perfect.
Yeah, and he's trying to be like, Ichikawa, it's me, it's Kafka, I'm still the same, it's all good. And they have this freak out moment.
Yeah.
And then there's this random old guy who's clearly a patient in the hospital walking down the hall, comes past.
And so beautifully comically animated too. Just very Looney Tunes-esque. This old guy just walking, it could have been something straight out of One Piece. This old guy just walking down and all of a sudden he just pulls out his phone and he starts ringing to report that there's a kaiju in the hospital, essentially.
It's so great. And as we cut to credits, we get Ichikawa saying, we need to run, sir. And then credits hit. I've got to say, we didn't mention it because we don't see the OP in episode one, but the song Abyss by Youngblood, one of the most banging OPs that I can remember of the last several years. But the ED...
I'm just going to say with the Youngblood sound, I'm not sold on it yet.
Oh.
I need to see the animation that goes with it because I'm like, okay, it's kind of all right, but I was hoping for something a little bit more maybe upbeat or something. Like I'm picturing maybe one of the Fire Force themes or something from even My Hero. I was really hoping for something with a bit more energy.
It is a very chilled song, but some of the lines, like the
lines are,
can someone please save my life, like repeated throughout it. I'm like, I reckon there's going to be like some gorgeous scenes.
Like worried he's becoming a monster and falling into the abyss and things like that. It's really, really cool song. But like I said, I'm not sold on it.
You want to be more energy.
I need to see the animation that goes with it to see if it gels for me.
Yeah, but with the ED though, it's just credits. It's just there's no imagery. It's just the names of all the people involved. It's a bang of a song, and I'm surprised.
Nice little bop.
Like One Republic is a very big, globally famous band, and they've lent their song Nobody to this. So I'm like, damn, that's a big get.
Yeah, well, I think like both of these songs, both artists, the writer is a fan of. So I think there was a request that he put out to them or something along those lines to get their music.
Okay.
And I think both of these songs are unique, or they haven't been released until this anime, if I'm not mistaken. Now, I could have misread that or misinterpreted that or something along those lines, but Abyss is a brand new single from Youngblood. He only released it a few weeks ago. And again, it was lined up to line up with the anime. And I'm pretty sure Nobody is in the same vein.
That's pretty big. Like that's impressive.
And to get big English artists, like English, but like Western artists, I should say.
Yeah. Well, Youngblood is an Englishman, and One Republic are American. So
yeah,
they both natively speak English as the usual dialect.
Yeah, that was more my point. Yeah, the Western artists instead of the traditional Japanese artists, like we've had Japanese artists singing in English with other anime and everything before, but not so much as having two very prominent Western artists performing an opening and ending track.
Yeah, so the OP, we haven't seen the visuals that's going to accompany.
No. I hope they're cool. Abyss, I really do.
But yeah, the song's a banger. I like that it's broody and a little bit more slower paced, but the ED, I enjoyed the track. Like Nobody, it's a good tune. It seems to tie in nicely with the vibe that we're getting off this first episode. And as the credits are running through, we're just getting the song, but we do get a nice post-credits stinger.
Oh, yeah.
Where they're talking about...
I said it last time, man. I love a good post-credits scene.
And so we've got Mina in the bath here, randomly reflecting on childhood with Kafka, talking about, you know, what we've got to do when we're targeting a kaiju. We've got to focus on the legs. We've got to slow them down.
Take the legs out first, yeah.
And there's this really great line here, thinking about when they're kids, and Kafka says, even when you're feeling scared, I'll be right there beside you. And she's like, you lied to me, dummy. Like that's not the case. So I wonder, it still doesn't in this scene though, like she's randomly thinking about him after all this time. So did she know that that was him
exactly
at the scene of the incident? Or is this just purely coincidental? It's not explained in this moment. So it leaves you thinking, is she just still very fond of Kafka after all these years and is curious as to what her friend's up to? Or did she go, that's him, but because I'm straight-laced, head of the third division, I just need to be professional and not say anything. So I'm which Mina is it? Which one are we got here? And she gets a phone call here in the bath from the Defense Corps about a kaiju that was sighted in the hospital in Yokohama. And she's like, don't worry, I'm going to deploy my team immediately and put it down. End of the episode, and you're like, oh boy, run, Kafka, you're in trouble.
You're in the shit. Barco's just chilling on the floor having a nice nap. I loved this episode. I think it was really, really well done. I was really concerned and worried that they were going to end it at the end of chapter one. I'm glad they did the post-credit stinger because it kind of sets up the second episode a little bit better. I was kind of hoping they'd move. Probably try and incorporate, but I was like, you're not going to have enough time in the 24 minutes to do chapter one and chapter two. Just because chapter two, you get more time with Kafka in his kaiju form. And it helps sell the story a little bit better to a new audience. That said, I think they did a really, really good job. Like I said, my partner hasn't read it. Besides, she knows that I read it and I showed her the trailer and I was really hyped on it. She's like, yeah, that's really, really good. I want to see more. I want to know more. Everything that goes along with that. So I was concerned it was going to end with him finding out turned into a kaiju in the hospital, which it did. But I think they nailed the tone and the imagery and everything else about the episode to set it up to make people want to tune into the next one.
Yeah, it landed everything it set out to do here, I feel, in this first episode, whether it be, yeah, for fans of the manga, hoping that the translation to screen was going to work. I think it did very, very, yep. very, very much so. Production IG nailed the animation. Mia and Kamiya, so there's two directors that are helming Kaiju Number 8 at the moment. They did really well. I think Yuta Bando, who helped put the soundtrack together, phenomenal choice and phenomenal usage of music in all the right yep. moments. And I like that it genre jumps throughout the episode. It's not just one note. It's not just all heavy guitar riffs. There's funk.
No, it's everything.
Yeah,
it feels alive.
That's a perfect way to describe it. Yeah, the music feels like a character in this anime yeah. in a way.
The sound effects, the voice work, the music, it especially, like we've talked about it so many times now, but coming from being a manga reader where you don't get those things, even just having the color is so, so brilliant and brings it to life, I think I'm just definitely going to have to read a lot more manga before they become anime now. It's one of the ways, because I'm just genuinely so impressed with how well it's done. I think I talked about it last time we were recording for Shangri-La, how much manga I've been reading lately, and I've been reading all of Jujutsu Kaisen. I'm not far past Shibuya arc now in that, but I do need to go back and read more. But it did really, like watching the anime and seeing where they've filled in the blanks and things like that with the anime and the different ways that they've done the certain scenes. It's like, it really has made me want to read manga a lot more, which is really funny to think about it that way. But it's made me appreciate the art form of anime a lot more as well.
I'm with you, man. Like, I only started reading manga, I wouldn't say full time, but like more regularly over the last few months, more so because I'm so up to date with most of the anime I consume. I'm like, I need more. I need to know more. So yeah, like I'm fully up to date with JJK. I've finished all the Solo Leveling stuff. I'm fully up to date with Kaiju Number 8. So I think you perfectly described it just before, where you said manga, like, it makes you appreciate the material so much more yeah. and you can get more context, more nuance from some of those panels in comparison to the anime. And then it's inversed as yeah. well, where you can get more storytelling and more impact in the anime. Instead of it just being a static panel, you're seeing these fight scenes or these big moments animated, or the emotion conveyed more when it's animated as opposed to just being a static panel. So we're winning either way. And man, hyped for more Kaiju Number 8. So I think it probably is a bit of a rhetorical question here, but you're definitely going to keep watching.
Oh, yeah. Especially when I know exactly what happens in chapter 2, I am really, really cool to see the fights that are coming up. Mm-hmm. Not just chapter 2, but all the other chapters that lead to the Defense Force stuff and everything that happens down the line with other kaiju that come along. And it's going to be a hell of a fun ride. The other cast of characters, like,
I can't wait to meet Shinomiya. I love her so much.
Yeah, Shinomiya. And then Hoshino. I want to meet Hoshino so much as well, because like, I've heard the snippets of his dub voice actor and I'm like, yes, he's sarcastic and rude, and that's exactly how I pictured him in my head. But also Shinomiya and Hoshino, they've both got their own B-side story arcs in the manga that they've just been releasing on the side, which I really, really hope they bring them in, even if they're filler arcs in the anime. I hope they animate them as well, because they slot perfectly into the story and it gives more character background for those characters.
I think they will for sure. I feel the marketing machine behind this is as big as I can remember. And I feel this is going to be the next big hit.
I haven't seen it as big as this since Mugen Train.
Yeah, that and probably Chainsaw Man would be the other big one where they went, you know what, we've got a winner on our hands here. Let's throw a lot of money behind it. And the marketing.
Like JJK didn't get this sort of treatment. JJK season two got a little bit more marketing behind it after the success of season one. But like, I don't like Chainsaw Man. Yeah, I think that's probably the most recent one. But yeah, Mugen Train was the other one that I remember had a huge marketing budget too.
Yeah, I feel this is the next big thing. This will be like Solo Leveling is definitely going to be one of the other new pillars of 2024. But I reckon Kaiju number 8 is going to be right up there as far as new IP for 2024. And I'm not sad about that because Solo Leveling, phenomenal. Kaiju number 8 so far after episode 1. Phenomenal. I can't wait to see where the next 11 episodes take us. I'm sad that it's only a 12 episode first season.
I'm gonna go back through the early chapters and try and work out where it's gonna end now. But the other anime, just before we move on, that I think deserves some shout outs for being best new IP this year is Delicious in Dungeon. Can I just talk about that for a minute? Because I fucking love this show so much, and like, I like Solo Leveling, love it, I think it's fantastic. I haven't finished it. I am watching Delicious in Dungeon religiously every week, and I am so damn excited to watch it every week. It's so much fun. It's such a sweet, easy to digest and lovable anime, and I hope you do an episode on it soon.
It is on the list for sure. I just need to try and find someone that hasn't watched any of it. That's the tough part. Because it is on Netflix, it's a little bit more accessible.
Netflix, it's easy,
So, yeah, I need to hunt somebody down because, yeah, it is great. It's cozy. It's emotional. There is some really cool combat scenes in there too and some big moments. And yeah, I'm fully up to date and I can't wait to see what happens on next week's episode.
Because we've been watching it as part of our Sunday night dinner routine in our home. So I'm looking forward to watching the latest episode tonight. I'm really excited and I just have a ball watching it every week.
It's something you need to add to your watch rotation, listeners. It is a cheeky weekly drop as well. So if you are listening to this episode on the 14th of April, I think there's 15 episodes.
13, 14, 15 episodes so far. Yeah,
and I think the first season is slated for 24, if I remember right. So we've got another 9.
It should be running through till July is what I last read.
Yeah, so check it out on Netflix. Yeah. Well worth your time, just like Kaiju number 8. I cannot wait to see.
Sorry to sidetrack us from there, but I love that show so much as well. So. Yeah,
you're a big fan, and I'm with you. It's great. It's one of the best new anime of 2024, for sure.
Yeah, and hey, if you the cast, like most notable voice actor, English voice actor in that, Emily Rudd, who was most recently Nami in the live action One Piece as well, is Marcel in that. Damien Haas, who has been in like one of those Japanese RPG games, and I think he was in My Happy Marriage. Yeah,
which
he
is
the lead,
one of the best anime of 2023. Listeners,
he's Laos in that as well, and he's from Smosh, if you know Smosh from YouTube. Really, really, really fantastic voice cast in that too. So definitely check that out, and yeah, definitely check out more of Kaiju number 8 if you haven't watched this first episode yet, because knowing full well what's coming up, these action set pieces that I'm really looking forward to watching play out, and these other characters that are going to get introduced. I read the latest chapter. You said you haven't read it yet, but reading the latest chapter this morning on the couch before I turned on the first episode, I got really, really excited. And I was like showing my partner, I was like, oh, see this person here, they were like back way at the start, and like we're 100 chapters removed from this person and everything, like, and they've returned. And I don't want to spoil it for you because I hope you have the same emotional reaction I did. I got really, really excited and I was so happy.
I'm going to read it after this because I'll report back. I'll message you offline. Yeah. But Benny, let's jump into the last word presented by our friends over at Japan Crate. Experience Japan through snacks and knickknacks via monthly package drops courtesy of japancrate.com. And while you're there, be sure to use code 8BIT15 at checkout to save yourself 15% off and also receive free shipping to anywhere on planet Earth. So, Benny, what is your last word or words or thoughts on the Kaiju number 8 first episode?
I want to join the Defense Force.
You're too old. You're past 33. You're
past 33. I can't do it anymore. God damn it.
Too late. We're both too late.
Maybe I'll get turned into a Kaiju.
Maybe. There's far worse ways to go, but it's great. I can't wait to see where these next 11 episodes go.
I think both you and I, like, this is how much we love the manga, is both you and I have said we want to get Kaiju number 8 tattoos. I want to get a Kafka kaiju tattoo somewhere. I think you said you wanted to get a Shinomiya art piece. Yeah, it's. I'm really, really excited to see where this goes.
Yeah, I'm actually booked in to get inked on the 2nd of May, so don't have to wait too long to have a bit of kaiju immortalized on my person until I am old and withered. But yeah, check out Kaiju Number 8. Episode 1 is available on Crunchyroll right on now. But Benny, I wanted to ask you one last question before we close this down. Recommend something for me and the listeners to check out. Doesn't need to be like thematically tied to Kaiju Number 8. Just think it's an anime recommendation and a very quick elevator pitch as to why.
I've got two at the moment that come to mind immediately because they're currently part of the April spring release calendar window. We are getting obviously new seasons of My Hero and Demon Slayer coming up in May, so be excited for those. But Windbreaker,
yes,
high school boys, first, yeah, the fighting in the first episode is fantastic. I hope you do an episode on it soon with someone. Actually, I know who you should do it with. Andrew A. Clay Clayton, get his ass on here, or Blue Shift. Oh, Blue Shift would be perfect, Alex. Anyway, sorry, I'm getting too excited. The other one, which relates more back to your and my love of food and my love of cocktails, Bartender Glass of God. Quick rundown. It's basically a guy, it runs a bar and he mixes drinks, and he's really a unique character, but the drinks that he makes are just perfect, for tailor-made for every customer. He works out who they are and makes them a drink that they absolutely love and just brightens their day and makes them so much better. And with how much I love cocktails, I love how this is all presented. I tweeted on yesterday saying, I would love to make a thread where I make every single cocktail that's highlighted in this series because they're so well presented. I just don't have all the ingredients to do so, especially with the ones from the second episode, which dropped just a day or two ago. I watched it yesterday. It's really, really, really just very good, easy, casual watching, but really, really well done. And it, yeah, if you can watch it of an evening with a nice cocktail in hand, it'll probably be even better.
I agree. Like for Windbreaker, if you enjoyed like God of High School or Tokyo Revengers, you're going to love Windbreaker. Animation is stunning.
The fights are so good.
Yeah. And
so good.
I can't wait to see where it goes with this first season. And yeah, Bartender, really great. I like there's a little bit more ground, a little bit more subdued, and the science and the craftsmanship that goes into making these cocktails, like you learn things as you watch it and it makes you respect.
You watched the second episode?
Not yet. No, not yet.
Okay. He makes references to Yokohama as well, but he makes a drink called an Old Pal, which I really love the description of why he chose that drink and the science behind it. It's fantastic. Yeah. Definitely worth a watch.
Yeah, it's so great. So, yeah, add those to your rotation as well because they're both ongoing. They've both had one slash two episodes available depending on when you're consuming this podcast.
Yep.
Yeah, Benny, thank you so much for stopping on by again and riffing Kaiju Number 8 with me. You can find Ben at BenMCJ on the social. You can find me at More Than Senpai, and you can find all the content we're doing here on More Than Hentai at morethanhentai.life. You can subscribe and join the Segoy Squad should you choose there. You can also get yourself some fantastic, fantastic merchandise all there at morethanhentai.life.
And check out those TikToks and all that YouTube content you've been putting out, man. Hey, the missus stumbled across the TikTok with me and she goes, oh my God, I just saw you on a TikTok. And I'm like, oh shit, I'll have to talk to Brendan about that.
I couldn't tag you. You weren't on TikTok.
Because I don't have a TikTok.
But yeah, on the socials at More Than Senpai, I am finally converting all this great podcast stuff into video form, both long form and short form for the socials. So yeah, check it out on TikTok, Instagram, YouTube, Twitter. You just search at More Than Senpai. You can find what we're up to there. But listeners, it's time to get on out of here. So on behalf of Benny and myself, we'll say goodbye. But whether your anime be subbed, dubbed, or still yet to come, enjoy yourself, stay hungry, and much love to all the gorgeous waifus out there. Goodbye.
Stay dashing.